What did you think of me?
I stood up here and said,
you know what the problem with you? You're just not enough like me. If you were more like me, you'd be better off. But what do you think of that attitude? You guys should just be more like me. You would laugh, right? But now what if I said, I would to God not only thou, but also that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. What if I said that? Then what do you think of me? All right, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your Bible. We thank you for this word, and we pray that you would just give me an open heart and clear mind that I can be able to speak clearly and present to these people that are here today these things that you've put on my heart. Amen. Paul was in front of King Agrippa. He asks him in Acts 26:27, we have it recorded, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. What made Paul feel this way? We don't have to read long into the book of Acts in the epistles to find out it was not that he had a perfect life. Why don't we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Here Paul's talking about himself. I'm going to read 10 verses, 23 through 33. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In the Old Testament, it was written that if you realize you've got to beat somebody, you can beat him 40 times, no more, lest your brother becomes vile unto you. So when the Jews were going to whip somebody, just to make sure they didn't miscount and go over, they would only whip him 39 times. Paul says, I lost my verse here. 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Interesting point, being hungry and fasting is a different thing. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Quite the life. I wish that all men were even as I am, except these bonds. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I wish you guys were more like me. What's he talking about? What does he wish we had? 3 times was I beaten with rods, but I wish you guys were more like me. I was stoned once. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. But no matter, I wish you guys were more like me. Why can he feel this way? Let's turn to Acts. Get some more details in a couple of these stories. Acts chapter 14. Verses 19 and 20. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Why don't I just turn a couple pages in Acts chapter 16, read the next story before I make comments. Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 25. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You guys know the story well enough, I don't have to keep going. All it takes for some people is the common cold that comes and goes and their life has ended. They feel like they're going to die and they wish they could die. It just takes bad weather and some people are complaining and their life is ruined because it rained on a day they wanted sun. Or it was sunny on the day they wanted rain. All it took was the threat of death from a crazy woman, and Elijah runs and hides under a tree and says, God, take my life. And what gave Paul the strength to pull himself out of that pile of stones and blood and walk back into that city? Where does he get this? What was it about the Apostle Paul? What was it about Silas that they're beaten with rods? Cast into a prison, their feet are fast in the stocks, and at midnight, they're singing praises to God. When Paul says, I would that all men were both almost and altogether such as I am, he's speaking of his relationship before God and what that brings him. There are three main keys that we see in the life of Paul, why he felt this way. Contentment, purpose, and hope. Let's look at contentment first. We must have contentment in Christ. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Paul speaking now, and he says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I have learned. Roy was just quoting this. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. James tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, let's stop and look at this. Contentment. What is contentment? Try it out. Go talk to Solomon. Tell him, I wish I were rich like you. He's going to say, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Tell him you want more things, and he's going to finish the verse and say, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. You know, some of you guys don't know the story, most of you do. Just a few weeks back, some friends of ours driving their truck down the road and were hit by a train. First it hit the driver door and it pushed them down the tracks, pushed them into a telephone pole. They weren't in very good condition. But they're recovering. Lord willing, sometime they'll be back here around some Sunday morning. One of you guys is going to walk up to them. You're not feeling good. You have a cold, all sorts of problems. And you're going to say in your Sunday morning greetings, hello, everybody. And come to Don and greet him. And he's going to ask you how you feel. And you say, I don't know. I feel like I was hit by a train. And he's going to say, no, you don't. Some statements that we make just aren't worth an answer. All you say is, no, you don't. It's just not worth an answer. Some people look around at their lot in life and you guys imagine it and you see it. The whole gay agenda, you see these guys that look like they wish they were a girl. No, you don't. Go tell a guy, you girls, you wish you were a guy. No, you don't. If only I had more friends. I wish I had more friends. Then I'd be happy. But no, you don't. Go out to eat with a movie star, somebody that's famous. Sit down with him and talk to him and say, I wish I was like you. I wish I was famous. All he's going to say is, no, you don't. He's got all kinds of stories to tell you. There's probably some out there that think that they're enjoying themselves. Most of them realize that they're not. All they can say is, no, you don't. No, you don't. You want that? I want this. I need that. No, you don't. It's not even worth an answer. No, you don't. Go talk to the rich man who fared sumptuously every day and tell him, I want more food. I want better food. I want to fare sumptuously every day. He'll call back out from hell and say, no, you don't. No, you don't. But talk to Lazarus. Tell him, I'm so sorry about your life. So he'll say, don't be sorry. I wish you were more like me. Go talk to the rich men that were casting their money into the treasury and say, I wish I had more money. And they're going to say, no, you don't. Talk to that woman that threw her two mites in. Say, oh, I'm so sorry for you. She'll say, sorry for what? I wish you were more like me. If you're going to pick somebody to emulate somebody that enjoys who they are. Jesus says, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Who are you going to emulate? You're going to go find the neighbor that is on his way to hell and emulate him? Who are you emulating? What are your heroes in life? You watch those ball games and you're watching these big football players and you're dreaming about someday being a famous football player. Who are you emulating? Why do you want to emulate him? There's nothing in that. Contentment is a relationship with God, not having what you want. Contentment is learning to love what you have, not getting what you want. Contentment is the ability to want what you have, not the ability to have what you want. It's about the relationship with Christ. You think you want these things, I want this. If only I had that, then I would have a life that I would feel like was worth wishing somebody else had the same life. As a Christian, every single one of us ought to be able to say with Paul, I would that all men were even as I am. Because Jesus says he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. We ought to be able to experience that. We ought to be able to know what Paul was talking about and say, yes, I feel that way. I have something that I want to share with the whole world. And that's going to come not from the things that you have, but from your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only do we need contentment in Christ with what He has, the position He's given us, and where we are in life, but we need a purpose. Take a little bit of a look at what Paul's purpose was in life. We find the first glimpse of that, a good glimpse of that, in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians, to fill out our idea of this a little more, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading verses 16 through 27. Excuse me. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This was Paul's purpose in life. I become all things to all men that I might by all means gain some. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's saying, and Jesus says, the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, even a man that's running a race knows that you lighten yourself as much as you can. You don't take anything that doesn't have to do with that race because you are running for a prize. And Paul's saying, why can't Christians get the same attitude? Why can't we live for a singular purpose? Purpose. A man once told Noah that life ended at 21. He said, when you're young, it's, when I turn 16, I can drive. When I turn 16, I can drive. Turn 16, I can drive. You turn 16, and now it's, when I turn 18, I can smoke. When I turn 18, I can smoke. Then you turn 18, it's, when I turn 21, I can drink. When I turn 21, I can drink. And this is what he lives for, and then when you turn 21, there's nothing more to live for the rest of your life. What a life. But you realize that the way that the human being is made, we have to have something to look forward to. If we are not looking forward to something, we have nothing to live for. He made a very good point when he said that. If we don't have eternal purposes to live for, this world is empty, and we will find it every corner we turn, everything we look for. Again, what did Solomon say? He that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. We must have an eternal purpose if we are going to have any true satisfaction. We need a purpose, and it must be an eternal one. Noah and I and my older brother and a couple of friends, we once also climbed Granite Peak, the tallest mountain in Montana, and we got lost in the process, and we had a blast of a time. And it would be a really fun story to tell if I could figure out a way to make it part of my sermon. But we had a fun time. It took us several days, and we only spent, what was it, Noah, 10 minutes on top of the mountain? The fun isn't standing on the top of the mountain. The fun is getting there. I just read an article that just very recently, this year, 4 people died trying to climb Mount Everest. They were willing to risk their life to stand on top of a mountain. Some people see through it all and they say, just to stand on top of a mountain? But people that have adventurer blood, we understand that it's not about standing on top of the mountain. It's about getting there. That was the fun part. And that's the way it is in life. We have to have a purpose. Where are we going? You have to have that goal in mind, and it makes the journey all worthwhile. A man whose end goal in life is to get married, live a good life, have a nice house, work a good job, is going to end up finding himself one day sitting down and saying, I get up and I eat. I go to work. I come home and I eat. And I go to bed and I repeat. What? I get up, I eat. I go to work. I work. I come home, I eat. I go to bed and I repeat. What is life? What is life? We have to have a purpose. You see it all throughout Paul's life. And as you look at the life of Paul, you begin to realize he meant it from the bottom of his heart when he said, I would that all men were not only almost, but altogether such as I am. Because he had contentment in Christ, he had purpose in Christ, and he had hope of the resurrection. Our purpose must be to both ourselves be conformed to the image of Christ and join God in his eternal purpose of taking men that he created in the image of Christ and who fell and bringing them back to the image of his own Son. Many Christians make the Christian life just look like a drag. They don't smile about life. Their attitude is, I can't have the fun I want to have. I can't listen to the music I want to listen to. I can't have the friends I want to be friends with. I can't dress the way I want to dress. There's just nothing to do. I can't. Those of you who were here in 2006 might remember Timothy leaning over the pulpit and saying, get a life. And I hope those of you who are here in 2013 will never forget me saying, get a life. What do you live for? Hope of the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 5.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Excuse me. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He's saying, we were pressed so far that our only hope left was confidence that we were going to raise again. He says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We came to the point where we were persuaded we were going to die. But yet, we didn't trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Here's the third main key in Paul's life to why he could be beaten, whipped 5 times with 39 stripes, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned in perils in the deep, in perils in the wilderness, and hungering and thirsting, and yet in the end of it all say, I wish that all men were altogether such as I am. Because he had a steadfast hope of the resurrection. We see this same hope in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I forgot to write down all my references for this chapter. I guess I'm just read verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, a hope of the resurrection. Having this trust, this confidence, is absolutely essential to living a life that is more abundant, that you can say in truth, I wish other people had what I have. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Go talk to somebody that's living a comfortable American lifestyle. And they might not fully, I'm saying a professing Christian that's living a comfortable American lifestyle, they might not fully understand that verse. But all we got to do is look at the life of Paul. Fastings, hungerings, thirstings. Almost drowning in the ocean multiple times. fleeing for his life over and over again. If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable in it. Now we know what he was really saying. But he did have hope. He had a steadfast hope and a confidence that this mortal was going to take on immortality. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these things, and we thank you for the confidence that we can have in Christ. I pray, Father, that you would take each person here. You would drill these things deep into our hearts, that we would learn contentment in Christ. Father, that we would learn to have a purpose in Christ. And Father, that we would place our hope in Christ. That by these things we would be able to live a more abundant life. Amen.